Oh, we're back together again, connected via Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, with Evening Under Lamplight. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and back in the studio again this evening is honoured guest Andrew Abey, who will be keeping me on the mark and play the role of a live audience, giving instant response and feedback, I hope. And, of course, you too are invited to attend, though in a less immediate but even more crucial role. You can reach me at lamplight@cambridge105.fm. And here's the announcement I've been waiting to be able to give you. Our website is finally back in operation at Moments Under Lamplight. That's Moments, not Evening. Let's notice the difference. MomentsUnderLamplight.co.uk. So far, the archived shows go only up to last April, but I'll be bringing them all up to date as soon as I can. So it's MomentsUnderLamplight.co.uk. And most of all, a big thanks to Steve for his generous and always kind help in this. And now let's move on with the show. Walt Whitman's selection this evening, Under Lamplight, celebrates his connection with all sorts of people, even extending his... There's Greg's Velcro in the background. we're overlapping here a wee bit. But Whitman's selection celebrates connection, all sorts of people, even out into the farthest space, goes on and on and on. And so I propose that we attend this evening to various kinds of connections. The first kind of connection I offer for our attention is telephone connection, as, for instance, in Lou Reed's New York Telephone Connection. He's woken by someone at the other end of the phone who hits him with a barrage of gossipy questions. Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? It's a world of superficial connections and nasty to boot, reveling in others' misfortunes. Just a New York conversation rattling in my head. And then more trivial concerns. Oh, oh my, and what shall we wear? To which all he can reply is, oh, oh my, and who really cares? All this buzzy concern in the artsy world about openings and closings and bed repartee. But something shifts at the end of the song. We'll attend to this after we've heard the song.
I was sleeping, gently napping, when I heard the phone. Who is on the other end talking? Am I even home? Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? Just a New York conversation rattling in my head. Oh my, and what shall we wear? Oh my, and who really cares? Just a New York conversation, gossip all of the time. Did you hear who did what to whom? Happens all the time. Who has touched and who has dabbled here in the city of shows? Openings, closings, bed repartee, everybody knows. Oh, how sad, and why do we call? Oh, I'm glad to hear from you all. I am calling, yes, I'm calling, just to speak to you. For I know this night will kill me if I can't be with you. If I can't be with you.
Greg says there's a David Bowie connection to this song, but we agreed that we were letting everybody else celebrate David Bowie. You may even have had enough. We don't want to oversaturate the world with that. But that's Lou Reed's New York Telephone Conversation, and you'll have caught that shift at the end from gossip to something much more touching. Yeah, touching, as in, I want to be touching you. I am calling, the person says, a she or a he, we don't know, and it doesn't matter. I'm calling just to speak to you, for I know this night will kill me if I can't be with you. Yes, the telephone provides the connection for the two of you to be together. And the superficial gossip about what she did to him and what they said, all this is just the excuse to be with you. It's what I call a rosary conversation. The concept of a rosary conversation came to me several years ago when I was at a weekend gathering of colleagues come together from all over Europe. We had all known each other for many years, in some cases many, many years, and we were often in touch through email meetings and online discussion groups, but we seldom actually got together. I remember sitting there at breakfast after two colleagues greeted me warmly and insisted that I join them. We lingered for a long time after breakfast was over, but what were we talking about? Really, very little more than that New York telephone conversation. The way so-and-so had aged, the trouble another friend had been having with a student, and the more serious trouble someone else was in for having slept with one of his students. And then the really boring talk about, yeah, well, I had this student last term who wrote this awful paper about... No, really, who cares about your one student's paper? We've all read papers like that. Oh my, and who really cares? But then it hit me that we were lingering at the table not so that we could trade gossipy stories, but just so that we could be together. It was like the way you pray the rosary. The rosary is a string of beads, different number of beads depending on which rosary or mala you're praying with. And you sit, moving your fingers from one bead to the next, saying a prayer at each bead, usually the same prayer, over and over again, not really paying attention to the words, just as you're not really paying attention to moving through the beads. It all seems so mindless, and that's just the point. You preoccupy your mind with these mindless repetitions, not attending to them with any intensity, but attending just enough to relax your monkey mind, to make room for something deeper, something below the level of consciousness, to be felt, or not felt, since it's below conscious awareness. And this something deeper is your true connection to God, in the case of praying the beads, to your friends, in the case of that New York telephone conversation, or my lingering breakfast with colleagues. But sometimes the need for this telephone connection can become more desperate, especially perhaps if it's an attempt at a long-distance connection. We have an example of this in our next song, a Dylan song performed by the band in an outtake from their first album, Music from Big Pink. Do I have to explain that old-fashioned method of making a long-distance call when you had to go through the operator, often having to wait for your local operator to make the connection to the operator in the area you're calling, and then that operator trying to get through to the party to which you are making the call? This became especially frustrating when you were in a phone booth, or in Britain, a phone box, about to insert coins. And then to make this experience worse, while you're in that cramped space, waiting for your connection, a queue starts forming outside, other people also needing their connection. That's what we get in this song. Long distance operator, place this call, it begins, but adds, it's not for fun. Uh-oh, it sounds like that person on the other end of the Lou Reed song who says, I know this night will kill me if I can't be with you. Yes, it's a special connection we're dealing with. I gotta give a message to my baby. You know, she's not just anyone. And then to remind us we're in that surreal Dylan world, we discover that there are thousands in the phone booth, thousands at the gate. Everybody wants to make a long-distance call, but you know, they're just gonna have to wait. This phone booth's on fire. It's getting hot inside. And then I suppose a glimpse at the phony connections outside the telephone connection world of the telephone booth. Everybody wants to be my friend, but nobody wants to get hired. Long-distance operator, I believe I'm strangling in this telephone wire. It's Richard Manuel singing, his voice constantly under strain, helped by the eerie, seemingly unpolished backing. We start off, though, with a little business connecting the performers and the recording engineers.
This would be take 400, rolling.
Take Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's trying to start a new life of her own. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's happy, so why don't you leave her alone? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please. Says Sylvia's packing, she's gone, be leaving today. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's marrying a fella down Galveston way. Sylvia's mother says please don't say nothing to make her start crying and stay. And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please. Says Sylvia's hurrying, she's catching the 9 o'clock train. Sylvia's mother says take your umbrella, 'cause Sylvia, it's starting to rain. And Sylvia's mother says thank you for calling, and sir, won't you call back again? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes.
And I've noticed those strings playing up and down at the very end. But there you are. I couldn't resist throwing in Dr. Hook's Sylvia's Mother, another song about misconnections or missed connections on the telephone. A tour de force of Dennis LeCourier's pained and self-pitying voice. Now, I'm aware of how old-fashioned this situation feels to us today when we have so many ways of connecting over long distance. In fact, someone was telling me recently that when she and her husband are apart for long periods, as happens given the work he does, they go to bed, each in a separate country, with Skype open on their laptops, the camera focused on them in bed as they are asleep. So if either of them wakes in the night, they can just look over and see their spouse lying next to them asleep. Well, sort of lying next to them. Is this a true connection or some phony, not quite connection? There's something ridiculous about this arrangement, but then also something very touching. And who are we to comment on such intimate things? So, sorry I told you that. Let's move from telephone connections to other kinds. The song that first came to my mind when I realized the show would be on Connection was, of course, the Rolling Stones song Connection from the 1967 album Between the Buttons. It's a pretty simple song, with its main aim seeming to be the accumulation of rhymes for connection. Direction, injections, infections, inspection, suspectum, collection. As so often with the Rolling Stones, though, the song becomes an expression of their frustration with modern life. Everything is going in the wrong direction. In particular, it's the frustration of trying to make a connection to their next flight, to somewhere this guy wants to get to, somewhere that will enable him to make his connection to his next gig, or to his dealer, or to some woman in the next town, or maybe he just wants to get back home after a long road trip. Connection, I just can't make no connection. All I want to do is to get back to you. There are only two verses, one with the doctor who must authorize departure, and the other with the baggage inspectors. Everything is going in the wrong direction. The doctor wants to give me more injections, giving me shots for 1,000 rare infections, and I don't know if he'll let me go. My bags, they get a very close inspection. I wonder why it is that they suspect them. They're dying to add me to their collection, and I don't know if they'll let me go. Connection, I just can't make no connection, but all I want to do is to get back to you. He wonders why the customs officials suspect his bags. Come on, stupid. All you have to do in 1967 is show up at an airport with long hair and unconventional clothes, and you'll be suspected of carrying drugs. But here on Cambridge 105, we suspect you of nothing other than the very best intentions, you listener to Evening Under Lamplight, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, and special guest Andrew A.B., who's sitting there quiet, but very much present with responses. But now, what happens when you actually are with the person you want to be with, your lover, but then suddenly the night has grown colder as the love connection between the two of you disappears? That's the situation in Leonard Cohen's Alexandra Leaving, a complex and moving song that for some reason I don't think we ever played on Evening Under Lamplight. Let's attend to the words for a bit so that when we bring in the music, we can resonate more fully with the song. The song was written by Leonard Cohen and Sharon Robinson, adapting the poem by C.P. Cavafy called the god abandons Antony, describing the moment when the god of war, Mars, abandons Mark Antony just before his final, definitive military defeat. He must now say goodbye to the luxurious, regal life he's been leading with Cleopatra in the city of Alexandria. Here quickly is the poem. When suddenly, at midnight, you hear an invisible procession going by with exquisite music, voices. Don't mourn your luck that's failing now. Work gone wrong, your plans all proving deceptive. Don't mourn them uselessly. As one long prepared and graced with courage, say goodbye to her, to the Alexandria that is leaving. Above all, don't fool yourself. Don't say it was a dream. Your ears deceived you. Don't degrade yourself with empty hopes like these. As one long prepared and graced with courage, as is right for you, who proved worthy of this kind of city, go firmly to the window and listen with deep emotion, but not with the whining, the pleas of a coward. Listen, your final delectation, to the voices, to the exquisite music of that strange procession, and say goodbye to her, to the Alexandria you are losing. If you know the Leonard Cohen song well, you'll have recognized several phrases he and Sharon Robinson took from the poem, adapting them to this completely different poem about the end of a love affair, rather than the end of a military career of one of Rome's great men. You'll notice, for one thing, that instead of Alexandria, the city, leaving, it's Alexandra, the woman, the lover, who's leaving. And it's not the god of war, Mars, but the god of love, Eros, or Cupid. Here's the version. Suddenly the night has grown colder, the god of love preparing to depart. Alexandra hoisted on his shoulder, they slip between the sentries of the heart. Upheld by the simplicities of pleasure, they gain the light, they formlessly entwine, and radiant beyond your widest measure, they fall among the voices and the wine. It's not a trick, your senses all deceiving, a fitful dream the morning will exhaust. Say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, then say goodbye to Alexandra lost. Even though she sleeps upon your satin, even though she wakes you with a kiss, do not say the moment was imagined. Do not stoop to strategies like this. As someone long prepared for this to happen, go firmly to the window, drink it in. Exquisite music, Alexandra laughing, your first commitments tangible again. And you, who had the honour of her evening, and by that honour had your own restored, say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, Alexandra leaving with her lord. Even though she sleeps upon your satin, even though she wakes you with a kiss, do not say the moment was imagined. Do not stoop to strategies like this. As someone long prepared for the occasion, in full command of every plan you erect, do not choose a coward's explanation that hides behind the cause and the effect. And you who were bewildered by a meaning whose code was broken, crucifix uncrossed, say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, then say goodbye to Alexandra lost. What I'd like to do now is play around with this situation, trying to flesh out or comment on what's going on here. All, of course, in the interest of helping us to attend to the song itself coming up in a few minutes. The poem, or song, seems to be about our connection to painful situations. In the Cavafy poem, the speaker urges Mark Antony to face up to the pain of losing his connection with Mars, the god of war. Here it's about this man losing his connection to his lover, Alexandra, and to the god of love, who has blessed their relationship. The man is here connected to that natural human impulse to protect ourselves from the pain through denial or intellectualizing. But the speaker advises him to face the pain and engage in a deeper, richer, more honorable connection. Picture this man lying there in bed, trying to work out what's going on. There's something wrong between Alexandra and me, isn't there? Or am I just dreaming that she had that different look in her eye? Well, it's probably no big deal. Tomorrow things will no doubt be back to normal. Look, she's right here as usual, sleeping on these nice satin sheets I got for us. And the next morning, when she wakes him with a kiss, he can comfort himself that there's nothing wrong with their love. He has it all worked out. That faraway look last night, well, you know, maybe she heard some noise out in the street. And when I just didn't feel like kissing her shoulder last thing at night as usual, well, that was probably just because it had been such a stressful day. And look, I was pretty tired, wasn't I? And you know what? Even if there is some kind of cooling off, heck, I can deal with it. That's just the way things go. Lovers come and lovers go. Okay, that's one kind of connection to what's going on. The kind of connection the song calls a coward's explanation that hides behind the cause and the effect. As long as he can intellectualize by looking for cause and effect connections, he can hide from the feelings of his heart and convince himself he's in control. That's the kind of connection to things most people rely on. It's a kind of power play, pleasing to the ego. And he leaves the crucifix uncrossed. He refuses the redemptive pain of the cross. But it's not a very deep connection, and it can fairly easily fall apart, as it does here when you were bewildered by a meaning. What happens when you can't work out what's going on, when it becomes obvious that, as is usually the case, you don't understand the other person all that well? There's a deeper connection, though, as the song suggests, and it's a kind of connection that can more often be expressed through myth, that is, through imaginative stories with unrealistic details that defy our intellectualizing, directing us to an understanding beyond the intellectual. So here, I think, is the mythic story behind the situation in the song. The man has been lying in bed with his lover, Alexandra, and the god of love has been hovering over the bed, blessing their love. Suddenly, the night has grown colder, the god of love preparing to depart. Why does the god of love depart? There can be no answer. These gods are unaccountable. They represent the forces and resonances of the world, whose movements are beyond our understanding. We can only pay attention to our feelings here and respond, not explain. The god of love, we'll call him Eros, acts decisively, and reaching into the man's heart, removes Alexandra from the heart, hoisting her onto his shoulder, past the sentries of the man's heart, past all those guards he has erected to keep her with him, as though a human being can control the movements of love and passion. And remember the triumphant revelation of Leonard Cohen's song Paper Thin Hotel. A heavy burden lifted from my soul. I learned that love was out of my control. Now, Alexandra and Eros, now free from his controlling heart, are upheld by the simplicities of pleasure, and they formlessly entwine. Does that mean that they're embracing in spirit, not in the form of flesh? Perhaps. In any case, they have entered a space far beyond anything the rational man in bed can imagine. Radiant beyond your widest measure. They abandon themselves in some bacchanalian feast, falling among the voices and the wine. One can hear the exquisite music of Alexandra laughing again. And the man himself? He had the honor of her evening. It was an honor to be graced with the love of Alexandra, and through that to be graced by the blessing of Eros, the god of love. He had this, but it does not last. Yet by that honor, he had his own honor restored. That's amazing. Like all of us, he's been muddied and sullied by a lifetime of dishonorable thoughts, words, and deeds, and is in need of some sort of restoration. And through his connection with Alexandra, he was also able to be connected to the God of love. This was the honor of her evening, and his connection with this deep passion was redeeming. It took him beyond his ego self into some divinely sanctioned union. But in this transitory life, all such divine connections are short-lived. But even if short-lived, they can transform us and change the direction of our lives. That's why it's so important for him not to go back to pretending it was a fitful dream or to trying to work out the cause and effect of what's going on. Now, all he can do is be aware of the deeper movements of the moment, and as he lies in bed with Alexandra, accepting that the deeper connection has now come to an end, let him say goodbye to Alexandra leaving with her lord. If he can no longer be connected to her, at least let him be connected to her leaving. That's what's offered to him in the present moment, and it's true and deep. So, let's finally put all this together with the holy and heart-rending performance from Leonard Cohen and Sharon Robinson. Suddenly, the night has grown colder. Suddenly, our hearts are invited to attend.
Suddenly, the night has grown colder. God of love, preparing to depart. Alexandra hoisted on his shoulder. They slip between the sentries of the heart, upheld by the simplicities of pleasure. They gain the light, they formlessly entwine. And radiant beyond your widest measure, they fall among the voices and the wine. It's not a trick, your senses all deceiving. A fitful dream, the morning will exhaust. Say goodbye to Alexandra leaving. Then say goodbye to Alexandra long. Even though she sleeps upon your satin, even though she wakes you with a kiss, do not say the moment was imagined. Do not stoop to strategies like this. Has someone long prepared for this to happen? Go firmly to the window, drink it in. Exquisite music, Alexandra laughing. Your first commitment's tangible. And you who had the honor of her evening, and by that honor had your own restored. Say goodbye to Alexandra leaving. wakes you with a kiss. Do not say the moment was imagined. Do not stoop to strategies like this. As someone long prepared for the occasion, in full command of every plan you write, do not choose a coward's explanation that hides behind the cause and the effect. And you who were bewildered by a meaning whose code was broken, crucifix uncrossed, say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, then say goodbye to Alexandra lost. Say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, then say goodbye to Alexandra lost.
Say goodbye to Alexandra leaving, and say goodbye to Alexandra Lost. Leonard Cohen and Sharon Robinson from the 2001 album, 10 New Songs. Now, before we move into our Whitman section, I want to attend for a few minutes to part of a lecture by Alan Watts called Myself, A Case of Mistaken Identity. If you have never heard Watts, his flippancy might startle you. He played the dual role of the sage and jester, or trickster. Not a bad combination.
So my main point last night was then that we need a new kind of consciousness in which every individual becomes aware that his real self is not just his conscious ego. You know, let's take a headlight of a car. The headlight shines on the road in front. The headlight does not shine on the wire which connects it with its own battery. So in a way, the headlight is unaware of how it shines. And in the same way, we are unaware of the sources of our consciousness. We don't know how we know. There was a young man who said, though, it seems that I know that I know. What I would like to see is the I that knows me when I know that I know that I know. And so we are ignorant of, we ignore. It doesn't come within the scope of our attention how it is that we manage to be conscious. How it is that we manage to grow our hair, to shape our bones, to beat our heart, and to secrete all the necessary fluids that we need from our glands. We do it, but we don't know how we do it. Because you see, underneath the superficial self, which pays attention to this and that, there is another self, more really us than I. And if you become aware of that unknown self, the more you become aware of it, the more you realize that it is inseparably connected with everything else that there is. That you are a function of this total galaxy bounded by the Milky Way, and that furthermore, this galaxy is a function of all other galaxies. And that vast thing that you see far off, far off, far off with telescopes, and you look and look and look, one day you're going to wake up and say, why, that's me. And in knowing that, know, you see, that you never die. that you are the eternal thing that comes and goes, that appears now as John Jones, now as Mary Smith, now as Betty Brown, and so it goes forever and ever and ever.
Let's bear in mind these ideas about identity and connection as we move into our Whitman passage. Now, I said a short while ago that a common way to express these deeper kinds of connections was through mythic writing, and that's the kind of thing we have seen Walt Whitman doing. Even though he speaks in the first person, it's not himself speaking, but this larger-than-life, all-embracing, mystic giant. Walt Whitman, a cosmos, turbulent, fleshy, sensual, eating, drinking, and breeding. In this week's section of Song of Myself, he celebrates his superhuman connection with everything around him and beyond and beyond. "My lovers suffocate me," he cries out, "crowding my lips and thick in the pores of my skin." These lovers include not only the people who love and admire him and whom he loves and admires, but also every other creature, sentient or not. The food crowding his lips, the damp atmosphere thick in the pores of his skin, all this and more he is connected to. This is much clearer and much more exciting than simply saying that he is connected to the all. He gives us a particularized list, another catalog, of some of the things contained in this all. Here are the people jostling me through the streets and public halls, and the lovers coming naked to me at night, and the boys at play, crying by day, "Ahoy," from the rocks of the river, and the squirrels, I suppose, and the birds, swinging and chirping over my head, and in fact, all the vegetation calling my name from flower beds or vines or tangled underbrush. Whitman is at pains to show us that these voices of his various lovers come to him even in the most humble or ordinary moments of the day, while I swim in the bath or drink from the pump at the corner. He goes to the opera to see the performance, but the voices of lovers come to him even when the curtain is down and he looks at that other performance off stage among the audience. He feels the loving connection of our common humanity in the brief glimpse at a woman's face in the railroad car. They are all lighting on every moment of my life, bussing, that is, kissing, my body with soft and balsamic busses, noiselessly passing handfuls out of their hearts and giving them to be mine. And of course, it's not just he who feels this connection and exerts this connection onto others. Every condition, he says, promulges not only itself, it promulges what grows after and out of itself. Every person, every little action creates ripples of effects upon others around it, or even at a distance from it, expanding the connection on and on. And as he says, the dark hush promulges as much as any. Those dark things we're ashamed of and want to hush up and keep secret. Sorry, even these things promulge or promulgate, expand, just like any other thing. Whitman pauses and then starts up again, now looking much further afield, up into the sky, where the effects of all these things expand on and on. I open my scuttle. That's a kind of window in the roof. I open my scuttle at night and see the far-sprinkled systems. And all I see, multiplied as high as I can cipher, edge but the rim of the farther systems. Wider and wider they spread, expanding and always expanding, outward and outward, forever outward. Now we're moving far out into the Milky Way and beyond, wheels and wheels of stars and galaxies connected together. My sun has his sun, and round him obediently wheels. He joins with his partners a group of superior circuit, and greater sets follow, making specks of the greatest inside them. There is no stoppage, and never can be stoppage. If I and you and the worlds and all beneath or upon their surfaces and all the palpable life were this moment reduced back to a pallid float, it would not avail in the long run. We should surely bring up again where we now stand, and as surely go as much farther, and then farther and farther. You cannot stop the karma of your actions and influences. It goes on and on and on and on, as John Lennon preached. And who the hell do you think you are, a superstar? Well, right you are. And we all shine on, like the moon and the stars and the sun. Why on earth are you there when you're everywhere? Yes, it's time to take a wee break with Instant Karma.
Day four.
Instant Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
Well, yes, I think the energy of the Plastic Ono Band, especially I think Alan White on drums, the energy matches the power Whitman puts into his poetry. And just in case we think there's a limit to the expansion of our connections, Whitman goes all out with his large numbers. A few quadrillions of eras, a few octillions of cubic leagues do not hazard the span or make it impatient. They are but parts. Anything is but a part. This huge expanse beyond our sight, beyond our imagination, that's just a part of the whole. And once we open ourselves to all these connections within us, we come to that ultimate still point of the turning world. See ever so far. There is limitless space outside of that. Count ever so much. There is limitless time around that. Our rendezvous is fitly appointed. God will be there and wait till we come. And now for the whole section altogether. But let me remind you that you've been listening to Evening Under Lamplight with Robert Louis Abrahamson on Cambridge 105. Come back next time for more. And check out the website momentsunderlamplight.co.uk. Here's Whitman. Span of youth, ever pushed elasticity, manhood balanced and florid and full, my lovers suffocate me, crowding my lips and thick in the pores of my skin, jostling me through the streets and public halls, coming naked to me at night, crying by day, ahoy, from the rock of the river, swinging and chirping over my head, calling my name from flower beds or vines or tangled underbrush, or while I swim in the bath, or drink from the pump at the corner, or the curtain is down at the opera, or I glimpse at a woman's face in the railroad car, lighting on every moment of my life, bussing my body with soft and balsamic busses, noiselessly passing handfuls out of their hearts and giving them to be mine. Old age, superbly rising, ineffable grace of dying days. Every condition promulges not only itself, it promulges what grows after and out of itself, and the dark hush promulges as much as any. I open my scuttle at night and see the far-sprinkled systems, and all I see, multiplied as high as I can cipher, edge but the rim of the farther systems. Wider and wider they spread, expanding and always expanding, outward and outward and forever outward. My son has his son, and round him obediently wheels. He joins with his partners a group of superior circuit, and greater sets follow, making specks of the greatest inside them. There is no stoppage, and never can be stoppage. If I and you and the worlds and all beneath or upon their surfaces and all the palpable life were this moment reduced back to a pallid float, it would not avail in the long run. We should surely bring up again where we now stand, and as surely go as much farther, and then farther and farther. A few quadrillions of eras, a few octillions of cubic leagues, do not hazard the span or make it impatient. They are but parts. Anything is but a part. See ever so far, there is limitless space outside of that. Count ever so much, there is limitless time around that. Our rendezvous is fitly appointed. God will be there and will wait till we come.
D4.
This calm is gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together.
Cause gonna get you.